Look around almost any Seattle neighborhood and you'll see them. Modest one-story wooden houses with large covered porches. The sheer number of these homes inspired a question from one of our listeners.
I'm Alberta George. I've lived in Seattle for quite a while. I was wondering, why are there so many craftsman-style homes in Seattle?
As part of our series Local Wonder, we sent KUOW's arts and culture reporter Marcy Silman to find out.
Before I could answer Alberta's question, I needed to know what a craftsman-style home is. So I turned to Larry Kreisman. He's the program director at Historic Seattle, and he's written a lot about local architecture.
Craftsman is actually, some people say, a name that was a trademark.
A designer named Gustav Stickley coined the term at the beginning of the 20th century.
Gustav Stickley in New York had a craftsman company, and he did plans for craftsman homes and bungalows.
Craftsman was the name of Stickley's company, but the word also applies to the architectural style he purveyed.
Overhanging roof lines to protect the sides of the house, brackets that came out and supported that overhanging eave, porches, river rock and stone chimneys, something that gave you a sense of handmade.
You see craftsman-style houses all over Seattle. Larry Kreisman and I met up in the Ravenna neighborhood on a rainy afternoon.
The bungalows that I'm going to show you in Ravenna are largely from the period from the Alaska-Yukon Pacific Exposition, which is 1909, to about 1920. That's when this area of streetcar suburb really got developed and platted.
Between 1900 and 1910, Seattle's population tripled from 80,000 to more than 230,000 people. Streetcars helped move these new Seattleites out of apartments and boarding houses in the city center to neighborhoods where they could build brand new homes. That population boom just happened to coincide with the craftsman heyday.
This is my neighborhood. We're walking in the, you know, Mount Baker little business district. This neighborhood was developed right at the time the craftsman movement was really big.
Writer Knut Berger leads me down a tree-lined street.
These are two houses I wanted to point out to you because when you look at them from the front, they look like your classic craftsmen's, and they are.
The Mount Baker neighborhood is filled with houses like these. Today they sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars, but 100 years ago they were definitely within the reach of average working people.
The land was cheap here, so you could pay a couple hundred dollars for a lot. You could buy a kit that would build you a bungalow from, say, a Sears catalog. That could set you back anywhere from, what, $500 to $1,000?
You heard that right. These craftsman bungalows cost about the price of an iPhone, and you could build them from a kit. Here's Larry Kreisman again.
Sears had them all, and you could order them online, and practically online, and they'd ship them out on the rail cars, and you'd have everything numbered, and you'd be able to put it together on your own. It's like a little Lego set.
A lot of people ordered these kits, but you could also find detailed building plans in magazines.
Here's Bungalow magazine, and we'll get that out.
Jody Fenton is the special collections manager at Seattle Public Library. We're back in the stacks, where the library stores especially rare or valuable publications. Fenton retrieves a 1912 issue of Bungalow magazine and flips to the back.
It'll have general specifications, and it'll be a list of all the things that you need in order to build the house, how many linear board feet you need of one type of wood, how much pipe you need for the plumbing, what kind of foundation you're going to make. You could take this and reconstruct this very house.
Bungalow magazine was published in Seattle by a guy named Judd Yoho. Yoho passed himself off as a trained architect, but there is no record that he ever got a degree. One thing Yoho definitely was a salesman, and what he sold were craftsman bungalows. Historic Seattle's Larry Kreisman says Yoho relentlessly and inventively promoted his business.
There was a potlatch parade every year, and it went up Second Avenue. And he had developed a float, and he built a miniature bungalow with river rock foundations and columns. Horses drew it up the street. And so it was his advertising.
The parade ended at a booth where you could put down money for a full-size house. Several dozen Yoho craftsman bungalows still stand in Seattle, according to Knut Berger.
The homes, a lot of them were built to last. I mean, this is the period where we still had old-growth timber, lots of wood products that were available.
All that timber was probably another reason why craftsman-style homes dominate Seattle's neighborhoods.
Some of these neighborhoods were popping up as the land was being cleared. In the late 19th century, there were even sawmills down on where the Mount Baker Beach is.
Berger thinks these houses actually drew people to Seattle.
Back east, big cities, people were living in denser apartment-style high-rises. And when they came here, they could live cheaply, but also own their own homes. This was sort of Seattle's like secret appeal over the years, is that you could kind of have the best of urban and suburban life in the city.
Craftsman-style architecture melded frontier simplicity with the natural beauty of the Pacific Northwest. Knut Berger worries with Seattle's current population boom, something could be lost.
When you build something, it was built with local materials, it was built next to a park that came with it. There's an integration of purpose and life there that you don't replace just by putting in an apartment.
Berger says all the new development in Seattle could spell the end of the modest craftsman home. For Local Wonder, I'm Marcy Silman.
We'll build a bungalow big enough for two. Big enough for two, my honey. Big enough for two, walla walla.
This story was inspired by a question from listener Alberta George. We have lots of images of craftsman bungalows in Seattle on our website, kuow.org. And while you're there, leave us your local wonder about the Puget Sound region. If your question is selected, a KUOW reporter will investigate it.